is up. It is me, George G. We've got another awesome episode of the Aligned Money Show coming your way, featuring Derek Massarella. He is a certified financial planner with Gateway Financial Partners. He is the author of Just Retire Already, an unconventional retirement guide. We had a great conversation that talked about the challenges and opportunities of transitioning to retirement and then actually enjoying a stress-free retirement, figuring out how much money do I need? How much money do I need to save? How do I take that money and turn it into income that's going to last for as long as I need it to? We talked about managing the biggest expenses, how to handle longevity, talking about the important things we need to be planning for, and how we make it all happen. We closed with a great difference-making tip as well. I know you are going to love it. Let's go. All right, Derek, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie, please.
All right, let's go. So my first item would be, I used to live in Boston, and I actually got to be an extra on the town. So if you're in that scene where they're walking to the laundromat, you may see me for like 2 seconds. Two, I've been to every state on the East and West Coast. And number three, I was actually the mascot at my college. I was a bulldog.
Oh, my goodness. You were an extra in the wonderful movie, The Town. You've been on to every state on the East and West Coast, and you were the bulldog in college. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Nice. Well, those are all very good. I'm going to guess that you've not been to every state on the East and West Coast.
No, the lie is actually I've never been an extra on The Town.
Ah, you got me. Good job.
You got to be specific, George. That's how you get them.
For sure. Well done. Well done. Have you seen the movie The Town?
Of course I have. It's awesome.
Of course. And you were really in Boston, or is that all made up too, Derek?
No, I lived in Boston. The one thing I hate about the one lie of that movie, if you want to say it, is when they're in the bank scene in North End and they're just driving around. Like, there'd be so much traffic. That would never, ever happen.
Like, that's completely unbelievable.
Yeah. I'm like, where are the cars? It'll take you 20 minutes to get down three streets, even in the middle of the day there. So that's a total lie.
Like, if I robbed a bank, would all the cars be gone, and would it be worth doing?
Yeah, that's what they don't think about, right? You got to make sure that there's no cars on the road for them.
I love it. All right. Well done. Well done. Well, Derek, what is top of mind for you right now?
Well, a lot of things I tend to focus on with my practice is helping people transition retire and helping retirees really enjoy their retirement, make it last, try and help them be as stress-free as possible. So love to chat with you about challenges people typically have, misunderstandings people have about retirement. I don't know what typically you've seen in your line of work. Love to have a discussion with you on that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Those are two challenging and important things, making that transition. And then when you're there, not being stressed out and worried about money all the time. We were just talking a minute ago about how if this number comes out. Somebody produces a number that says to retire comfortably in the United States, now you need $1.4 million. Just what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's just so misleading to me for folks because everyone is so different. And the number that you save really depends on your expenses. So really people should be looking backwards and thinking, all right, well, what am I going to actually spend in retirement? Because to me, it's like, remember those old ING commercials you saw where people had numbers over their head with their net worth or whatever that number represented? I think that's what people are trained. Like, oh, once I get to X number, I'll be good. When that's not really the case, because you and I probably have a much different number, and it's based on our, where we live, because taxes are going to be different, how much we're going to spend, what we actually want to do. Are we going to work part-time? Are we going to volunteer? Are we going to travel a ton? So that's really going to depend a lot of what you have. And, I know there's a lot of rules of thumb about like having 70 or 80% of your pre-retirement income. I think for a lot of folks that can help be a guideline to kind of measure if you're on track, if you're doing like back of the envelope math. But there's just a lot of factors in retirement that just having a number saved is all you have. And to me, that doesn't make much sense. Plus, it can be really discouraging for someone that may have, hey, I'm 50 years old. I don't spend a ton of money. There's no chance I'm going to get to 1.4 million. And they just say, well, I may as well give up or any of that stuff. So to me, I really hate when they have this, oh, here's your number. If you don't get there, good luck retiring. It's just not a good mindset to have or put out there for people.
Yeah, I can definitely see how that would be a demotivating thing. It's like, how in the world am I going to, I can't even save anything right now. How am I going to save $1 million?
Right. What's the point? I have 50, I have $200,000. You're doing better than most people, actually, if you think about it, unfortunately. But having that number be that high for folks may or may not be realistic either.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. I think that we all want categories or sort of to be told, okay, I need to get to this because it's easier for us to understand. But the real solution is figuring out all those things you were just talking about. What are your expenses going to be? Do you understand what your tax status is going to be and what your lifestyle is going to look like if you're going to work?
Exactly. You know what? One of the exercises I work through with clients is really kind of breaking your expenses down into three categories. So figure out what is your fixed expenses, what I need to have come in every single month, whether that's, maybe you do carry a mortgage into retirement or your insurances, taxes, all that stuff. What are you going to be paying in every single month that you know is coming in? Then figure out what are the variable expenses. So some of those things are going to be like groceries or, giving gifts to grandkids or what do you want to do for fun? And then the other piece that I think a lot of people miss out on are what are those big expenses that are going to come up throughout retirement? Like if you remember through COVID, everyone is in their house all day. And what did everyone do? They said, I'm going to redo my porch. I'm going to redo my kitchen. I'm going to redo this. So as a retiree, you're in your house a lot more than you were before. And every retiree I've ever worked with wants to redo something in their house. So there's going to be home projects that you're going to probably want to do. And, your retirement's going to be 25 years. You're not going to drive the same car for 25 years. So there's going to be all those kind of spike expenses. And you want to make sure you're budgeting those in because if all you're doing is saying, okay, I need to spend X per month for my fix. And I've got, a wiggle room of another $2,000 for fun stuff. You're going to miscalculate and miss out on those big expenses.
I appreciate that. So you said that there were three categories you focus on. It's fixed, yeah. The big expenses.
And variable.
Variable expenses. Okay, nice. And obviously the variable one is trickier because it's variable.
It is, but typically the nice thing about these credit card statements now is they'll give you a year summary of your spending. So you can kind of look and say, okay, what are the things you commonly spend? What part of the exercise I take clients through is we look at, all right, what are the fun things you really want to do? Are you a golfer? All right, let's build in you golfing four times a week or whatever that number is for you. What's the expense of that? And let's map that out and include that in the plan and have a line item for that stuff. So some of those things can be accounted for pretty easily. I mean, there's always going to be things that come up in our lives, whether someone gets married and now you've got to fly to Jamaica for a wedding or what have you. Those things are naturally going to come up, but generally they'll kind of even out month to month. People don't usually spend, $5,000 2 months and then just $1,000 every other month. So it typically tends to average out over time.
I appreciate that. So stress in retirement, what are some of the reasons that happens? Why do people get stressed out?
So you got to think about it. Your whole life, you're making money and money's always coming into your life. And at a certain point, you're just going to stop that. Now, at this point, no money is coming into your life, no new money at least. So you're solely relying on the money that you have saved and Social Security. So when you think about that, you're like, okay, I only have a finite amount of money. We get a little different. It's natural. It's a human, evolutionary thing. When we only have so much money, we think, okay, we've got to hold on to it. And a lot of people tend to be either just more conservative with their investments or just more conservative with how much they spend because they don't want to run out. And that's a totally natural fear to have. So that's where I think doing that first step and figuring out, okay, what are the expenses and how does that impact what you have saved? And can we, materially spend these over 25, 30 years? The other problem is we don't know how long we're going to live for. So, okay, I've got this pot of money. I don't know if it's going to last 5 years or 35 years. So that's a challenge that people have to get through and kind of work through their mind. So it's just a total mindset shift. I think that's where a lot of the stress comes in. Even if you are well off, you're always kind of in the back of mind thinking, okay, well, what if the market really drops? What do I do for that? What if I live too long? What if, how do we handle that? What if I have a long-term care event and everyone knows someone that's been in a facility, whether it's their aunt or uncle or their parents. So how do I handle that? So there's all these different risk factors in retirement that people kind of popping in and out of their brain. So really coming with a plan for how to deal with each one of those can be incredibly powerful and meaningful for retirees. Because now it's like, okay, if this happens, I've got a plan. If this happens, I've got a plan. If this happens, this is how we're handling it. So you just want to make sure you're having those discussions. Some of them can be terrible. I mean, no one wants to talk about ending up at home. But if you don't have that conversation and something happens to you, what do you do? That's much more stressful, in my opinion, than trying to handle it in the front end.
I guess that is really what the fundamental cause of stress is, uncertainty about stuff that might happen. And I just don't know. So then weighing those contingencies and actually talking about it and making a plan can help to alleviate the uncertainty and the feelings around that.
Right. I mean, think about any time you've been stressed in your entire life right now. It's probably when you first started doing something, or let's say you were talking in front of a group and you weren't prepared. You're going to be much more stressed if you were very prepared, you had your speech written down, you practice and practice and practice, versus someone that says, well, I'm going to wing it. I mean, that's really the analogy that you want to look at, is what, which person would you rather be? Person that's prepared, or the person that's going to wing it?
Yeah. I would rather be the person that's prepared. But the main cause of my, the main cause of stress in my life right now, Derek, is my 4-year-old, and because he is an absolute wild card and it is beyond my control. So
I can relate. I have a 5 and a 3-year-old. So
oh,
I've
got 2 points. Yeah. Oh. Perfect.
All over the place. Yeah. Trying to get him dressed for 10 minutes in the morning is always fun.
You totally get it. It's like wrestling. So anyway, for that's to be continued on that one. I was just thinking also about the 4% rule, and I'll be honest that I'd never really dug into it, even though I've worked in personal finance for almost 25 years. Like, okay, just withdraw 4% every year, but that's not really what it is. There's a lot more that goes into it, and it requires planning on an annual basis. And I thought to myself, if I'm 75 years old, do I really want to be thinking about that kind of stuff? And I just don't know.
Well, the challenge is there's the theory of it, which makes sense. And he, you know, William Begnan? I can't remember if I'm
something like that.
Yeah, he came out with a theory in 1991 or 92. So it was early 90s. And he looked back, you know, over 30, 50 years, basically. And I think a couple of things you've got to realize is that bonds were paying a much greater percentage than they are today, even though today the rates have bumped up. But, you know, especially over the last 20 years, interest rates were, you know, 2% or so. So the income that they would get from a 60 portfolio was much higher doing his research. That's one point I want to make. And then two, when you really look at it, I found that the better people have more of a dynamic strategy, because when you look back at history, the 4% rule could have made sense for a lot of time periods, but also didn't make sense for a good number of time periods. And what I found is that a lot of people were typically giving up too much money. So they're being too conservative. They weren't spending enough. They weren't enjoying enough of their money in retirement, because the stock market crushed it for a number of years, or, you know, the bond market did really well. So they were essentially leaving a lot of money on the table. And what I find is having more of a dynamic strategy can make a lot more sense. And really the third point is, no one has a linear lifestyle. No one's just going to say, okay, well, I'm going to spend the same exact amount every year plus 2% for inflation, or, you know, now let's say it's 3%, right? No one does that. So you're going to have those, like I said, those spike expenses, and you're going to want to travel maybe a little bit more 1 year versus the next year or something like that. So you really want to have more of a dynamic strategy when it comes to it. And, you know, I've kind of done a lot of research on this, and you see a lot of different avenues. So you could do something like the guardrail strategy, where you're essentially, if the market's up, you take a little bit more. If the market's down, you take a little bit less. You kind of adjust your spending based on the market performance. Some will look at, hey, we're going to spend a little bit more in beginning retirement. When people are healthier, they're kind of just got out of work, and now they have all this time, this energy, and they want to do stuff, and they spend maybe a little bit less middle phase, and then they spend a little bit more on the back end again, kind of like a smile, because now they have all these healthcare expenses. So you really want to have and look about, all right, let's have a more dynamic, adjustable strategy in retirement than just being, okay, I'm going to spend the same exact amount every year based on what my account value is.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. And again, just requires planning.
It does. Yeah. And it requires you being a little more nimble. So it's not like, you know, you can think of it like sailing. We got to adjust the sails along the way, depending on what's going with the wind. I'm not a sailor at all. I've only sailed one time, but that's kind of what you want to think of it as. You're not just saying, okay, well, I'm going to have this check come in every month, and, you know, whatever it is, I guess I'll adjust my lifestyle backwards. I mean, that's not really realistic, unfortunately.
And people crave certainty. Is that true?
Yeah, they do. So, you know, what helps is really kind of giving them a range. I think I tend to use the guardrail more than most things for people, just because it gives them kind of a range. It says, okay, if we fall within this range based on what you're spending, this is where you'll end up. So people kind of have a more visual picture of, okay, where they are and what they can spend. And okay, if A happens, we go up. If B happens, we go down. You guys comfortable with that range? Then we talk about it. And then we kind of they know they have a plan, and we, you know, talk every year about it and figure out where to go from there.
Do you think that people can DIY their retirement income?
I think you can. I think the caveat is you're probably missing out on a lot of things, because I think what separates you know, an expert or someone more knowledgeable on a topic is those little details. And I think a lot of people can have a good buffer. So if they've done a really good job saving or they've had a good number, they can get through retirement. It's probably not going to be optimal. They're probably either going to leave money on the table or maybe pay too much in taxes or maybe not have a good plan for healthcare. So there's a lot of things that they're probably not thinking of that can potentially derail their retirement, but they may have just saved so much money and they're too conservative where they'll be fine, but they could have been better off with maybe an expert or an advisor or someone helping them that's really knowledgeable on the topic. Because I find it's all those little things that typically make the difference once you get to a certain point.
Yeah. And we're living through a time right now where we're seeing how little things in every aspect of our life are making everything a lot more expensive. And sometimes those little things are really, really big things. And you think you used a really important word, which is optimize or optimal. I mean, if you are doing it yourself, and I'm not advocating that you make your own decisions, you know, people, you decide how you want to plan this stuff. But yeah, 1% here, 5% there, 3% there, if you could get that back in your pocket, that would certainly be better.
Right. And if you're thinking, okay, now I've got, you know, a year or $1 million nest egg, that 1% on that's a big deal. And, you know, 1% on you paying taxes, that adds up. And, you know, you at the end of the day, you could be talking about $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 back in your pocket. When you think about what it takes to create that for income, you have to save. I mean, that's also your time. So I want you to think about it that way too. I mean, I'm also biased because I'm a financial advisor. So of course I'm going to say, yeah, work with one. But I'm saying folks that want to DIY it themselves, but just you have to do a lot of research to take up that time to figure out, okay, how do I really optimize my retirement? So that's the real trade-off you want to do. Are you going to spend that much time figuring that out? And what's that worth to you?
Yeah. Talk about peace of mind and certainty and understanding that and appreciating that we have a lot of valuable resources, money being one of them, but time, attention, all of those things are also of value.
Right.
So making those kinds of decisions. I mean, it just kind of stresses me out just thinking about being 80 years old and trying to think about and make these decisions. So knowing that I would have somebody or I do have somebody that's helping me with these things and acting in my best interest, I think is of immense value.
I think a lot of times it's even just having a sounding board. Hey, we're thinking of doing this. What's something we're missing? I think it's a lot of the I don't know what I don't know things that come up with it. I found with clients, you know, and even in doing the research for the book I wrote, a lot of it is come, you know, the one alarming stat I saw was, you know, the number one tax planning strategy was in for retirees. 19% of people said they did nothing. They had no tax planning strategy in retirement. That was the number one thing they did. So the number one thing was doing absolutely nothing in terms of tax planning. The number two thing was deductions, which, you know, nowadays isn't really even that beneficial for you. So I think there's a lot of room people have to do in terms of tax planning when it comes to retirement. You know, you have to look forward and backward with this. A lot of times we just look last year and say, hey, look, I reduced your tax bill by, you know, $500, you know, that's great. Good job, accountant. But they don't ever look out. All right, let's, we plan for the future. Was that the best decision for the next 20 years? You know, one short example of that is the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is probably going to expire in 2026. So there's some planning around that. I mean, that means deductions are going to drop. Estate planning limits are going to drop. Tax rates are probably going to go up about 3% for some folks. So depending on what happens with that, I mean, there's some planning we could do today to help capture some of those tax savings now and then push that out, you know, later. So there's a lot of things you want to try and figure out and just determine. And I don't know how often many people are paying attention to those smaller items, like what's going on with laws being passed.
Number one strategy, nothing. Number two, tax deductions.
Right.
Got it.
So it's like, okay, great. You know, so that's your strategy. You got some work to do. And there's a lot of opportunity there for you then. So if you're not doing that and you look at doing that, I mean, taxes are one of your biggest expenses in retirement by far. So how can you really look at planning for that? And if you plan for that correctly, you can save thousands of dollars over the course of your retirement just by doing that one piece of it.
Yeah, a lot of low-hanging fruit for sure.
Yeah.
Well, Derek, we're ready for that difference-making tip. What do you have for us?
I think my difference-making tip is actually, I'm going to circle back on the taxes. I think that's the one thing that I found typically we can add a lot more value for folks. So if you're really not paying attention to taxes, I think that's a real opportunity for you. And when you project stuff out, and I kind of mentioned those spike years, but when you have multiple different tax sources, so you have Roth dollars, you have traditional IRA dollars, you have after-tax money, you know, thinking about, okay, if I'm going to redo my kitchen, where am I pulling that money from? And having a real strategy on withdrawals and things like that can really reduce your taxes, because all you're doing now is saving your pre-tax 401k. You're paying taxes on all of that. Now that $50,000 kitchen is going to cost you $75,000 because of taxes. What if you were a little bit, you know, better with your tax strategy? You can say, okay, I'm going to take some from the Roth, some from the after tax, and now my kitchen costs $55,000 with taxes. So that's what I would say. You really need to pay attention to taxes and really think about, okay, pushing forward, what does that look like for me?
Well, I think that is great stuff that definitely gets, come on, got to pay attention to this stuff, Derek, or you don't, you can just ignore it all. And, you know, there's other people that are making plans on your behalf in that case. Right. So, well, Derek, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you? And where can they get their copy of your book, Just Retire Already, an Unconventional Retirement Guide?
So you can go to justretirealready.com. You can buy the book on any bookstore, whether it's Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I guess I'm even in the Harvard bookstore. So, hey, Mom, I made it to Harvard. And then you could look at, if you want to work with me or email me, all my contact information is on their website as well. So love to hear from you and hear your feedback on the book.
Excellent. If you enjoy this much as I did, show Derek your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to justretirealready.com. Pick up a copy of the book and get in touch with Derek and start asking and answering some of these questions and making plans so that you are positioned for success for a stress-free retirement. Thanks again, Derek.
Anytime, George. Pleasure to be on.
Finally, friendly reminder, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.